to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm here with Marima and Michal. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
So how is everyone doing?
I have a song to sing.
Oh, boy. Okay, go.
It's called Book Hype on Saturday Night, and the lyrics are, "We're recording Book Hype on Saturday night. Yay!" And that's it.
Does that mean we require no coffee?
That means we might require something else.
Yes, this is true. I'm with you on that.
Oh, it's like not even midday here.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock there.
In fact, it's 8 o'clock here, so hey.
So really, I've been wasting 3 hours, is what you're saying.
Exactly. So what has everyone been reading this week? I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in a really long time, but what have you been reading?
I just read S by J.J. Abrams and Doug Durst, I think is the actual author's name. Yeah, I read it last night. It was, like, weird but cool. My review will be up probably when this podcast has gone up. But I think everyone should read it. Like, it was really cool the way that it was done. But I had some issues with it, which will be in my review. Spoiler. But yeah, that was fun. And I also read this week, because I've finished classes, so I, like, have all this time, I read Marina by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, who I've, like, just talked about a million times, but I will reiterate, is, like, a fantastic author. And everyone's always asking us to talk about, like, more adult authors. And his books are definitely not, like, quote-unquote YA. So I would recommend them if people want to, like, check them out. They're kind of gothic, set in Barcelona, mystery novels, which are sound better than my description, which was terrible.
I am reading another YA book. I'm reading Champion by Marie Lu, which is the third book in the Legend trilogy, and it's pretty good. I think it's a little... I'm not sure yet. Actually, I'm not done, so I'm not going to give a permanent mark. But if you like June and you like Day and you like Dystopian Los Angeles, because whatever. But if you like the series so far, I think it'll be an enjoyable read for you.
Excellent. You guys have been reading really cool stuff. I have not, because I just started grad school classes. So if anyone wants to know about behavior analysis or ethics in applied behavior analysis, I'm your girl this week. But hopefully now that the starting of classes is back under control, I can start reading normally again and not just big fat textbooks with lots of large words.
Oh, I feel like we've swapped.
I know, we really have.
I think we now have a rule on Book Hype. Somebody always has to be in grad school.
I think it is a rule. We're, you know, we all strive to be really smart on Book Hype. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, well I was not in I was not in grad school because I'm a baby, but yeah, close enough.
Okay, so are you trying to say I'm old? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say you're very impressive because you're going back to get your, like, 15th degree.
It's my fourth, thank you.
Okay, well, I only have
Oh my god, I feel like the idiot in the corner with my...
Well,
my one creative writing degree.
Technically, yes, I haven't actually graduated yet, so let's cross our fingers that I've passed. But
yeah, I'm sure it's gonna be fine. So that's what I've been reading. So if any questions about behavior, psychology, any of those things, I'm your girl. But other than that, I do have a pile of things that I really want to get to reading. So I'm hoping Monday is like a day off here, so I'm hoping to sit down and actually read an actual book rather than my very lovely textbooks.
Yay!
Yay! I'm so excited about that. And to squeeze in seeing Thor, because, you know, it's required.
It's fun. Hey, that's like an adaptation. We can talk about that.
Yeah, so you two have seen Thor, and I know you're going to talk about it a little bit without spoiling me, correct? Because that's the plan, no spoiling.
Yeah, we don't spoil. I mean, the Thor movies are, like, ridiculous. We were saying before we started, the Chris Hemsworth was in an Australian soap opera, so I just can't take him seriously because his accent is like the accent of someone trying really, really hard to do an English accent. But apart from that, like really fun.
I love it. How about you, Miha?
I think that it was fun. It was good. And I have one particular thought that I won't share because it is sort of predicated on a spoiler. But let's just say there's another movie I want to see after this movie, and it's not about Thor. That's what I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Scream at the last thought of the movie? Something's wrong with you.
Yeah. Natalie Portman in these movies is really annoying. I just have to put that out there.
Oh my god, she's so annoying.
I could do without her. Like, I love Natalie Portman. I think she's fantastic, but her character sucks. So bad.
Yeah. It's really like, okay, let me run around and tell you how sciencey I am because I'm holding this thingy in my, you know, whatever. And like,
yeah, let me wave my science GPS in the air.
Yeah.
I feel like she was
particles
meant to be a really smart character, and they didn't write her very smart, so there's only so many things that Natalie Portman can do with her,
right? And part of me also feels like, oh, they knew each other for like a day and a half, and I get that it's like this love story, but what is happening from the first
like,
movie?
No, just no.
Yeah, just what? Oh, okay, cool, no worries. It's, yeah, they're fun. I like I wrote on Twitter after I saw it, I like that the Thor movies kind of know they're sort of the kind of camp, a bit ridiculous movies out of the Marvel series. And they have like their serious moments, of course, and there are like serious things going on there. But at the same time, yeah, they seem quite self-aware in a way of what is happening. And I enjoyed this sequel a lot more than the first one. So definitely go and see it. And Tom Hiddleston is in it, so... You know,
That's the only reason Michal went to see that movie. They're gonna let her fool you.
Oh yeah,
I think that a lot of my enjoyment of the Marvel universe is predicated on Tom Hiddleston, probably more than it should be. But I will say that I think Natalie Portman's character had far and away the most like gaping, obvious, and like unforgivable story flaws in the whole thing. It was just like, it was absurd, and we can't talk about it, but that is just a thing that I'm going to say.
So go and see it, Jen. You'll enjoy it.
I know.
I feel like
if I start Agents of Hype, maybe we can talk about it on there.
Yeah.
Ooh, I do watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I kind of enjoy it.
I must be on that. I have spoken to Joss Whedon. That's like a get in for free card.
She's like, I'm in.
I'm pulling it now. I'm finally pulling the card.
Well, if I have any say in it, it will be all female because there are no all female Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts and very few women in general who talk about it. So it will be.
And it's not like we're not opinionated, let's face it.
Exactly.
I think we could hold our own.
Yeah. No, but this past week's episode was so good. It was not normal. It was, yeah.
It was really good.
It was really
good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let's talk about books.
books, if I recall correctly.
That was just a little, like, what do we call it? Agents of Hype mini show.
Exactly.
We're just practicing.
Yeah.
Excellent.
This episode is brought to you by Agents of Hype.
Maybe.
Awesome, right?
You can just let us know.
I will.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook to consider is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. For any of you who are aware, The Book Thief has just been made into a major motion picture, and it comes out next week. And I've actually taught this book to my students. It's an absolutely stunning book. It is narrated by Death, which may seem kind of morbid and weird and stuff, but it's beautiful. The way it describes things, and you get to live through this one little girl's life, Liesl Memminger, as she lives in World War II Germany, and as she lives with basically adoptive parents, and it is just, it's a stunning, stunning book, and I absolutely highly recommend it to everybody. And I actually use the audiobook in my classroom for my students, so I can absolutely say with certainty that the narrator is fantastic. So definitely check that out. And once again, you can get a free audiobook of your choice at audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. So now we're going to get into some book news. And basically, this is a little bit about adaptations, because when isn't there a week when there are adaptations kicking about from a book? So the first one is Ender's Game, and that just came out last week here in the States. Marima, you don't have it down there yet, do you?
It's not out here until December, but I'm seeing a screening in like a couple weeks. So,
ooh,
yeah,
very nice.
But it's like so late here. It's so sad.
I know.
It's so sad. So,
I saw it in a screener about a week and a half ago now, and I thought it was really good. There are some changes, obviously. There are always going to be changes with an adaptation, but I don't think they harmed the book in any way. I think it kept to the story that everyone wants to read about. You know, Ender is this boy who's put into battalion and he wants to help fight, and he is severely manipulated by Graf, who is kind of in charge. And the one thing the movie does that the book can't do, because we have, you know, only Ender's perspective, is it opens up that perspective into a much broader view. So you get to see a little bit more of the behind the scenes stuff with Graf and with everything else. So I think that's a really cool aspect of the novel. You also get this perception that Ender knows a little bit more about the manipulation that Graf is pulling, not to the full extent, but he gets it. So I thought it was really well handled, and I really enjoyed it. The ending is a little bit different, but I don't think it like kills any part of the book. I think it sticks to what it needs to, and it's really, really good. I don't know if anyone, did you see it, Michal?
I have not seen it yet, no.
Yeah. I know a couple of other people from Hypeable saw it, and they all really enjoyed it as well. They thought it worked really well as a film, so hopefully it does well.
I'm so excited.
Good reviews, right? Like,
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it has gotten really good reviews, actually. So that's a start, because recently, or as of late, adaptations, for some whatever reason, are not doing what they should be doing. But I think Ender's Game has been fairly successful.
It's going to be so fun. I'm really excited. I love Ender's Game.
I know, it's one of your favorites.
It is. It is one of my favorites. Aside from, like, the author who sucks, but the book is great.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like, and that was the big thing when they were trying to, like, do publicity for this novel, is they really couldn't have him, like, do any publicity, because he's so, like, he's just bad for publicity. He says really negative things, and it's,
yeah, and he's just like generally a horrible person, I feel like.
Well,
and
there's
it,
that, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It kind of raises interesting questions about separating a creator from, you know, the artist, like the artwork and the artist, because I know, like, there are a lot of boycotts for Ender's Game because of a lot of the things that he said about, like, gay marriage and things like that. And, you know, I totally understand if people want to do that, but I feel like he's got his money from it already at this point. So by boycotting the film, you're just punishing all the people who did work on it, which is a shame. And also, like, I've read that book so many times, but I don't think there are any, like, none of his views about those things are really present in that book, maybe in other things that he's written, but not in Ender's Game. So I'm excited.
In Ender's Game, the only thing that I noticed was the lack of females.
Right.
Because his big comment is females are too compassionate. They can't handle war or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that was
the
one
book,
thing that comes across in the book.
The book has its problems. Like, it's not you know, the greatest book ever written. What I really like about it is the ending of it. And, you know, you just don't see that coming. Ever. Like, I don't think anyone that's read that book is like, oh yeah, I totally knew that was happening. So, you know, it's just like a really, really well-written thing. So I'm excited to see how that translates.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what everyone else thinks. It did open pretty well here. It didn't do so well this second week, but then again, Thor came out, and well, that's kind of a major motion picture. So it's a little bit different. It's kind of a big deal. But it did open pretty strongly here.
But the thing is, you know, talking about authors who are, you know, objectionable, like, I feel like people, maybe because Orson Scott Card's views are very extreme in a lot of different areas, but, you know, I mean, there have been so many, like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, Roald Dahl's books are read in schools across the world. The man was a ravening, like, drooling at the mouth anti-Semite it's like craziness, and like we don't associate that, you know, with him because he wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and oh my God, it's Gene Wilder, you know, and like, so you know, at a certain point, like, there's just, I mean, it helps that he's dead, you know, because that's just easier. It's easier to forget the artist when the artist is dead. But I don't think that this is a unique situation by any means, and I don't think that people's responses need to be any different than they would be with any other, you know, work of art. You know, I mean, there are crazy objectionable directors out there, cough, Roman Polanski, cough, you know, that people celebrate like crazy and treat them as victims, you know? So like, you know, the people who made the movie aren't Orson Scott Card. So.
Got it. All right. So the other big adaptation coming out this month is The Book Thief, and The Book Thief was written by Marcus Duzak. And Marima, you can tell us a little bit about this because you just got to interview Marcus Duzak.
Woo. Yay. Highlight of my life. What? The Book Thief I have talked about many times on this podcast. Everyone should read it or you are crazy. I got to Michal read the book. I got to interview him just, you know, he's kind of doing like a little tour for the movie coming out. And it was really interesting because he talked a lot about like staying away from the adaptation and not trying to influence it. And I feel like that's quite different. So many authors like really try and emphasize like, oh, I was so involved. And yeah, they, you know, they really wanted to involve me in all of the creative decisions and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's kind of refreshing in a way to hear an author who was like, you know what, he has to stand behind the written word, and the creative team and the director, they get to stand behind the film. And so he just did like a kind of summary for them of, you know, what he thought was important based on the script. And then that was kind of it. And, you know, they let it go. And I am so excited for this movie because I have been covering it for Hyperball like a crazy obsessive person. And all of the promotional material and everything looks amazing. It doesn't come out here until January. So I cried basically when I had to write that up. That is so sad. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do about that. But it's like already out over there. So, you know, that sucks.
No, it's not out here. It doesn't come out till next week.
Well, it's in limited release right now. It's
okay, because I'm like, I know it opens wide the 15th.
Like on Friday. Just like limited, but they've been showing it for months at our film festivals and things like that. They've been doing a really gradual build, which I think was clever. So like you haven't seen it yet.
No, I had screening passes to go, and the night I was supposed to go, the Red Sox were in Boston, because it was in Boston. That's the closest place for me to see screenings. It was in Boston. It was the final game. Well, what ended up being the final game of the World Series, and the president was in Boston. I could not have gotten into that city if I wanted to. Like, it would have been ugly. So I ended up not going, unfortunately. Oh, I was super sad, but at the same time, I'm like, no. Red Sox possibly winning a World Series at home and the president's in town? Not a good call. So I was very, very sad. But my friend did go. What's that?
You'd have had to sleep in the movie theater.
I know, it would have been really bad. Like, and trying to get home would have been the worst because the Sox were just getting out and they would have, you know, and they won. So it would have been psychotic. Like, I can't even imagine.
Are the Red Sox baseball?
Yes. Yes, they are. Good job.
Cool. I knew that. I know who the president is. I got that part of it.
Yeah, so I ended up not being able to go, but my friend did go. Because she lives much closer to the city and it was easier to get in. And she said it was amazing.
Yeah.
She said it was absolutely stunning. And every promotion I see makes me want to cry.
Me
it
too.
It is so beautiful.
Oh, and the casting well. The casting is like fantastic. And
the little girl playing Liesl is just, oh my God, she's perfect.
Yeah, but for me, it's actually the boy playing Rudy. Is like, because they released a few clips like over the last week, and there's the one where he like goes to pick her up for school for the first time, It's just so perfect, and it's just like he's walked off the page. I don't know, something about him really, really gets me. Like, it just seems, I don't know. I really like Liesl as well. I think she's great, but yeah, the Rudy casting is like, I don't know. It's just I can't imagine him being any different to that now. So I'm so excited for this movie. Like, I cannot even explain how excited I am for this. And I'm going to embarrass myself in the movie theater and like sob my eyes out, because every single time I have read this book, I feel like I've cried more over The Book Thief than like every other book I've read combined. I think that's actually an accurate statement. So, yeah.
I think so much about The Book Thief. It's just such a beautiful novel, even though, okay, A, it is narrated by death, if that gives you any indication of how this book's gonna go, first of all. But his writing is so beautiful. It is absolutely stunning writing, and I think that's what draws you in so much to the story, and you care for the characters. And it's set in World War II Germany. There aren't a lot of happy endings there, and you know that going in, but there's still something so beautiful about the way it's written and how everything falls into place, and just her story in general, how she becomes the book thief. It's beautiful. There's
Yeah.
so much of it that is beautiful and but yet heart-wrenching at the same time, so.
Yeah, I totally agree. He is, I definitely believe he is one of the best writers of like this generation of authors, for sure. And he's written like a lot of other things, and they are all also really good, but they are very different in style from The Book Thief, so I wouldn't go into reading them expecting it all to be the same, because The Book Thief is in this like very specific style because of the narrator. But yeah, the book itself is just like absolutely stunning. And when I heard they were adapting it, I had a few like reservations because of that, because I wasn't sure how well they would be able to kind of convey that. I don't know, just like that imagery and everything that comes across in his writing. But everything that I've seen so far just looks like so fantastic. And I feel like it's going to be, yeah, amazing. It just looks amazing. And I've built it up so much in my head. So if it's not good, I will actually be so upset. But I feel like it can't be bad at this point, because we've seen half the movie in the promotional material, and it's all really good.
Not only that, but it has Academy Award-winning actors. This film is set to be an Academy Award nominee.
Oh,
Like, that's how I
definitely.
look at it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're going for. So I think that's also really, important to note that they didn't go into this lightly in any way, shape, or form.
No.
They picked a cast that could handle the roles that they were given. The fact that they picked unknowns to play Rudy and Liesl, I find really, fascinating.
And really Max as well, like he hasn't been in much
That's
else.
true.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
and
true.
also when you think about it, like Geoffrey Rush, yeah, he's an Oscar winner and he's absolutely fantastic actor, and he's Australian, so like props to him. But he's not like a Hollywood star kind of thing. They could have gone for someone else, more like a more obvious choice to put their name and their face on all of the promotional material and everything. But even with that, they've always focused on Liesl, who, like you said, is unknown. And I feel like that is a really good sign for how they are approaching this. And also, John Williams is scoring it, so that's going to be
Yeah,
amazing. And the previews for
I.
that went up, and they sound beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I'm a huge John Williams fan, as we all know.
Yes, exactly. And it should be big and sweeping, and that's kind of the music that he produces, so
I
it'll
think
be
it'll be,
fantastic.
yeah, I'm very excited
I
for
can't
this.
wait. I'm bringing a box of tissues when I go. I'm
Oh,
just gonna throw it
yeah.
out there. So, heads up, anyone planning on going to see The Book Thief, which I highly recommend. Of course, you should read the book first,
Read the
but
book first.
anyway. Read the book first, then go see it and bring your box of tissues because you're going to need it. But it is
Absolutely.
stunning,
Instead of
stunning,
3D
stunning.
glasses, they could hand out packs of tissues.
That should be it. That's what they should do.
That's,
Knowing
yeah.
going in that it's like required, that should be like the thing. Kleenex should get in on that. It's a great promotion.
It really is. Oh,
Anyway.
man. No, but I think it was very interesting what you said that with Ender's Game also like these movies maybe adding a touch more credibility to young adult adaptations, because let's face it's been a little bit miserable lately on the movie scene. So if
Yeah.
obviously I think Book Thief everybody can agree is in a class of its own, but and I say that not having read it, but it looks like it's in a class of its own. But still, I mean, I hope that people maybe can get like a different view instead of like, oh, just teenagers kissing. Like, no, there's a tremendous depth of young adult fiction, and
Yeah,
yeah.
I agree with that. I would just like mention that The Book Thief, when it was published, because he's an Australian author, and when it was published in Australia, it actually was an adult book. It was only in America that they market it as like this young adult book. So, and that's really just because of the age of the girl that it focuses on. But I would say it's kind of a book for like anyone, as long as you can. I think the themes that are in it make it a more of an adult slash like slightly older, young adult. Like, I wouldn't give that book to a 12-year-old kind of thing. But yeah, like, you're definitely right. It showcases another side, which is always nice, so people don't go like, oh, it's all just like The Host, which was a terrible movie.
Or it's all just romance and kissing, and which is
The
not the
Host,
case.
yeah.
No, well, no, I mean, like, I think a lot of people think young adult are just like
Twilight, yeah.
romance and kissing and oh,
Vampires.
trying to find yourself, and yeah, vampires, and more recently aliens, and so,
Yeah.
but this definitely highlights that it's not about that. I mean, and there are a couple novels out there that are similar in theme to The Book Thief, and I'm gonna forget the Codename Verity is one of them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's another one that I mean, it specifically handles the same topic. And Rose Under Fire, its sequel, also kind of goes along with that. So I think that
I think Rose Under Fire is even more similar because that actually takes place in a concentration camp.
Well, this is, yeah. Anyway, so
Something like that, yeah.
yeah, because this The Book Thief does not take place in a
No,
concentration camp.
I know, but it's more like
Yeah, the idea behind it.
it's the British side of the war versus the like people in the under German occupation.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that they need to understand that there is a wider, much wider, broader scope of novels out there than just romance and
Codename
sassy
Verity.
girls.
Oof, that would make a fantastic movie.
Which one?
Codename Verity. That
Yeah,
would.
I want to say it's been optioned, but I'm not sure. I have to look that up, but I think it was optioned when it came out. So yeah, I don't know, but I love The Book Thief. I taught The Book Thief to my students, so I think we've talked about that before. It is definitely a novel that is taught in lots of classrooms, mostly ninth grade, eighth, ninth grade classrooms. So which is your, 13, 14, 15-year-olds is when we start having them look at it, read it, discuss it. It's got gorgeous writing, and there's so much you can do with the writing as a study of writing. So that's why it's so fantastic for, school, because it's got all the things that you want to teach a student about, imagery and all the various forms of writing that there are. So my students loved it, even though, it was a little darker than what we would typically read. They absolutely loved it. So that's a
You're the
ringing
coolest
endorsement.
teacher. I wish you were my
Oh.
teacher.
Thanks. So, Marima, you also got to see a different adaptation recently, Filth, by
Yeah,
Irvin Welsh. Yeah, so
I
why don't you tell us about
did.
that?
I saw that this week, and I don't actually think it has a US release date yet, which is weird. It's got like it's coming out in Australia in a couple weeks and in the UK as well. Yeah, it's like, well, it's not a young adult, it's like an adult novel. Filth, which was written by Irvin Welsh, who wrote Trainspotting, and everyone knows Trainspotting, that was a cool movie. So this stars James McAvoy, and it's like set in Scotland, and it kind of deals with a similar set of issues. So it's focusing on like this corrupt policeman, but his life is kind of collapsing around him, and like Trainspotting, it has some kind of like weird imagery and a bit like psychedelic. It was interesting. I don't how do I do this without spoiling anyone? It's very bleak. It's not like a cheerful film by any means, and it has its funny moments, but yeah, I think it's quite confronting. So, if you're into that, and Irvin Welsh is a fantastic writer, so you might just want to check out the book as well, which I haven't read the book, but I've read some of his other stuff. So, yeah, that was just to like shake things up. That was c completely different from other things. But James McAvoy is fantastic. I definitely think this is like the role of his career, at least so far. So, Yeah, it's a very interesting adaptation. I'll say it like that.
I do love some James McAvoy.
Yeah,
Everybody,
he is.
James McAvoy's best role was as Professor X in X-Men First Class.
That is,
Okay.
yeah, no, that no. I really love X-Men First Class, but like, this is some serious acting that he does in this.
Yeah, if it's anything like book, it has to be some serious acting.
Yeah,
The book is
have you read
intense.
Filth?
I read it
Of course
ages and
not.
ages and ages ago. Because it's
Yeah.
here, it's this bright blue cover with a pig on the front of it,
Yeah,
a pig face on the front of it.
exactly. And all those kind of like references and images that are in the book are definitely present in the film.
Yeah, so
So,
that means he's amazing.
yeah,
He pulled it off.
he
Amazing.
is fantastic. And the rest of the cast are also really good, but like it is really a showcase for him. So, you know, if you like James McAvoy, it's not a comedy. It has kind of some dark comedic moments, but it is like a kind of drama ish. Definitely worth seeing, I think.
Excellent. I'll have to look for it when it comes out here and see.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it'll get like limited release there or something. I'm not sure. Maybe they're just seeing how it will do in like the UK, etc. first.
Yeah, that's possible. That stuff happens sometimes where they kind of hit funny, like they'll hit UK, Australia first and then hit later here and vice versa. So I'll just keep my eye out for it and see.
Yeah, it's always weird when something comes out in Australia first. Then you know something is wrong.
No.
Yes.
You're like, absolutely, what are you talking
I'm
about?
so bitter about having to wait till January. So,
I
so
can
good.
tell.
Yeah, that's fine. Can you just sneak like your can how long can you record on your phone? Like how long can a video be? Not that I'm condoning piracy, but like I need to see
Mine was like,
this
it would
movie.
just be for my personal use, and I would still go and pay to see it when it comes out in January.
I will go and see it 1,000 times, but I need to see it now.
It's gonna be okay. So let's talk a little bit about, there are some new book deals, and every now and then we like to talk about these because some of them are really cool, and it kind of gives you an idea of what's coming up in books for trends as well. So I pulled some really, really cool ones to talk about from authors we know, and some are from debut authors, just to give you an idea of what's coming up and what authors are writing about these days. The first one is been acquired by Harlequin Teen. And it's called Daughters Unto Devils, and it's a horror novel set in the 1800s by debut author Amy Lukovics. I think I said that right. And it's about a girl coping with a secret pregnancy and her family's move to the prairie. 16-year-old Amanda must figure out whether she's being haunted by an evil presence that is tainting the land or if she's simply losing her mind. You know, just one of the two. No big deal. I think it's kind of interesting that they
Oh,
made
wait.
her pregnant. But yeah, go ahead.
That happened to me last week.
You were confused whether or not you were losing your mind or being haunted by a secret presence?
Wait, no, nobody else? Okay, fine.
You're like, oh, wait, I retract that
I thought you were
statement.
talking about the pregnant bit, and I was like, what have I missed?
I'm not specifying.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I take that back.
Do not cut that out.
To say something funny because I didn't say anything while you guys were talking about the book thief, so I was like, I'll just say something, and yeah, okay, whatever.
That was fantastic. Anyway,
Oh
so
dear.
I would say it's really early. That's my default thing. It's like it's super early in the morning, except it's not. It's not even late
Nope.
at night.
It's only 8:30, man.
Excuses, this is just me.
That sounds cool, though. I don't
It
know.
does sound kind of cool. It's definitely different. You know, life on the prairie is not something we explore unless it's in a little house. So, this would be cool.
It's like probably not the first thing. I probably wouldn't have immediately picked that up, I would have to say, but yeah, I think that sounds interesting. Very
I think it's
different.
cool that it's sold as a horror or billed as a
Yeah.
horror novel because you don't get a lot of that in teen. I think the very few people write it. Kendare Blake writes it, and she writes it really, really well. But other than that, there's not a lot that I can think of off the top of my head.
Michael Grant.
He writes horror?
Yeah, have you read Berserk?
Oh, no. No.
That's like techno horror. It's terrifying. Actually, a lot of his stuff is really scary. The Gone series definitely went into horrorville for a while. Yeah. I definitely if you're into horror, check out some of his stuff.
Yeah, but I don't like him. He makes some really horrible comments
I
about
don't like him either, but
So, I won't pay for his novels. Not gonna happen.
we'll get someone to
I don't
record
think
them on their iPhone. Oh, no, that won't work.
so. No, you're like, wait, nope, scratch.
Nope.
Yeah. So, and the next one is, it's kind of a middle grade book, which is cool. I like talking about middle grade every now and then because they have really fun things. Let's face it, Harry Potter was a middle grade book. So this one is A Dragon's Guide to the Care and Feeding of Humans, which I think is super fun.
That sounds so fun. It sounds like How to Train Your Dragon, which was the greatest movie.
Right, exactly, except this is the reverse. The
Yeah.
dragons are teaching them how to care for their humans.
Exactly.
Exactly. And this is a collaboration between Lawrence Yeup and Joanne Ryder, and it's the first of a middle grade trilogy. And the books introduce a world of fantastical creatures who are not always living harmoniously in San Francisco. And it's scheduled to be published in the spring of 2015, which is a super long way off, but it still sounds really cool. And I wonder if more books like this will become popular now that JK is doing her novel, it turning her novel into a movie about the creatures. So I think that will be interesting to watch to see if, because of that aspect of it, the
Oh, Fantastic
Fantastical Beasts,
Beasts?
yeah, if that
Oh.
kind of starts a trend for stories about creatures.
I will
Well,
definitely read this book. This sounds awesome.
let's just, like give credit where credit's due. Lawrence Yeap has written approximately a million books.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that has that, I think that this is fantastic, but it just in general, I wonder if that will now become a trend.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean? That was, yeah, it wasn't saying that he wrote it because of that, because
Oh,
obviously it's not true. It's already been, picked up, or and that means it's been probably written for quite a while. But I just think more and more people might now be looking for things about fantastical beasts and creatures because this has opened a doorway.
this is true.
I think
Well, he actually
I
has a
could definitely
series.
see that.
Sorry. Oh, I was. He just. He has a series called Dragon.
I love these kinds of books, these like kind of instructional, but like they're often like very satirical kind of books. So I will definitely check this out.
Exactly. And sometimes middle grade books are super cool. Like
Yeah.
they're not written, sometimes they're written at a for really, really young kids, and those are harder for me to read. But a lot of them, more often than not, they're really smart and really fun.
Yeah.
So I enjoy them. So we'll see. We'll have to check that one out, 'cause who doesn't love dragons? I mean, let's be honest.
There
This is
should be
true.
more books about dragons.
Exactly.
I fell briefly out of love with them when we had the whole Aragorn thing,
Oh,
but
but they were just bad
it's
books. Like, that's not the dragon's
yeah.
fault.
That, yes, you can't blame the dragon for the bad writing. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, no offense to that kid. He was like 16 when he wrote those books, but still.
Oh, please, that is not an excuse. He should
Still.
never have been published. And he was way older when he wrote the other one. I'm like, wait,
Whoa.
what?
Yep, you've clearly struck a nerve here. I'm just like,
Okay.
cool.
I was just feeling bad because I was like hating on a child, but he's got a lot of money, so I kind of don't feel bad anymore.
Nope. Once I this is a pet peeve of mine. People who are like these Wunderkinds authors, and then it's like, oh well, you can't criticize their book because they're XYZ. No, once your book is published and in the public eye, you have no protection. Your age does not defend you. It's not rationale for a lack of quality. If anything, it's rationale for, oh right, you shouldn't have been published yet. And this is as a person who teaches writing, okay? I teach writing to children, and I deal with plenty of adorably crappy writing, and it's beautiful and wonderful and amazing, but they shouldn't be published yet.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm falling off my soapbox.
Okay. Moving on to the happier topic of no. So Disney World Publishing Worldwide acquired the rights to Zodiac, and this is based on the Chinese zodiac, and it's written by comic book legend Stan Lee with Stuart Moore, and it's going to be an illustrated book. So, and it was illustrated by Andy Tong, and let's see, the illustrated novel follows Stan, Stephen Lee, a Chinese American teenager who is drawn into a mysterious conspiracy surrounding 12 mystical pools of energy and a power-hungry secret organization. It will be released in January 2015. And I'm sure there will be a film to follow shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So it's not like
It's written by Stan Lee.
it's not a comic
Hello.
book though. It's like an illustrated
It is
book.
not, it's like an illustrated book, yeah.
Okay, that sounds
As
cool.
far as I can tell, it's like an it's an illustrated book.
Yeah, that
That's not
sounds
cool.
It sounds really cool, and it definitely lends itself to being a commercial movie. And it's been optioned by Disney Publishing, which holds the rights to the films, as far as I know. So.
Yeah, true. That's setting that up.
Yeah, it's ready to take on the
I kind
world.
of feel like the naming of that character is a little bit self-aggrandizing, like Stephen Lee, get it?
I know. I had read it twice because I'm like, wait, did he just name the character after himself? Because
Yes,
every time I read it,
he
I pick
did.
up the first two letters. I'm like, oh, wait, no, Stephen, not Stan. But yeah, it's kind of funny, I'm not gonna lie.
I
Dude,
wonder
he's
what his
Stan Lee.
cameo will be in that film.
Well, we'll have to read the book to find out.
His cameo in Thor was pretty funny.
Yeah,
It is because he
they've been
pops up
good.
everywhere.
They've been really good recently.
But yeah, it's good to see Stan Lee still out there working hard because, he really needs to do that these days.
He is at every single comic book festival that has ever existed. I think it's because of Comic Con I keep getting these emails. It's like Stan Lee is gonna be here, and then like Stan Lee's gonna be here. Pay $80 for a signed photo with Stan Lee. Like, oh my God. I can't tell if he just is like really enjoys doing it or he's run out of money.
There's no possible way that man has run out of money.
Well, you would think so, but then like what is he doing at all these things?
I
Surely you
think
would
he
get
just
sick of
really
it.
likes the people.
Maybe he just likes the well, he named a character after himself, so maybe he just really likes the attention.
Possible as well.
Oh.
Either way, the man is very capable when
Yes.
he crafts the story, let's be honest. So,
Yeah, I think this sounds cool. I will check this out.
yes. All right. So the next one, David Levithan, who's also one of the main editors or the main editor at Scholastic Press, has bought the rights to a story by Kristen White and Jim DiBartolo, and it's called In the Shadows. And it was pitched as Hugo Cabret meets Miss Peregrine. And the story is told in an alternating narrative of words and pictures. Okay, so here's the deal. Are you guys familiar with Hugo Cabret?
Yep.
Okay. So that story is literally one narrative is told in written word, and the other narrative is literally told in pictures. And then Miss Peregrine, we know, has inserted these really cool black and white photos throughout the novel. So I can see how it's a trend. Part of me feels like this is trying way too hard.
I like it. I mean, it's hard to know 'cause it like I don't really know what it we don't know what it's about yet. But I really like when they have kind of the supplementary material or they tell the stories in a different way. I have to say, going back to S, that was my main like peeve with S was the like this is going to sound so stupid, but S has like all these letters and postcards and things inserted into the book. And when you're reading it is so hard to read that book without them all just falling out. And it wouldn't be a problem except they keep referencing on, like the adjacent pages, they reference like, see the attached letter, and then you have to know which letter was between those pages. So that was really annoying. So just by virtue of the fact that like the illustrations or the photographs are actually attached to the book, I like Miss Peregrine's much more.
Yeah, well,
Weird
Miss, I
thing,
love
but
Miss Peregrine's, and
I
it's
like,
clearly
yeah.
for whatever reason that book has been phenomenal because it is consistently on the New York Times bestselling list, and this was long before he announced that he was had a second book coming out, or it was on there constantly. It didn't matter what other books had come out that were supposed to be huge best-selling novels. They may not have made the list because Miss Peregrine's was still on it, and I, for the life of me, cannot figure out how it sat on the New York Times bestselling list for the better part of 2 years.
Well, it was like I guess it was just kind of a flashpoint of, all of these different things that authors were trying and like he just did it so well. And honestly, I really
Yeah.
like Hugo Cabret and I really like Miss Peregrine. So if they're pitching something as, both of them, I will definitely read that because yeah, I like the way that both those books are structured and I really liked both of those stories. So, I mean, I have no idea what this book is about, but cool, I'll read it. Why not?
It's interesting to me that the pitch was to like really basically very recent works because I feel like usually pitches are not because I don't know when you say that it's just sort of like well I took this idea and I divided it by this idea and then I got this idea which is fine when you have like Pride and Prejudice plus zombies or I don't know whatever something like that but the fact that they're so kind of relevant, and it's sort of like, oh, well, I could just go to the bookstore right now and get those two books. I don't know. Strikes me as interesting. Maybe I'm wrong.
I kind of don't buy that though, because the reason that they pitch things, or like when, you know, when we write reviews and we describe it like, oh, if you like this book, you'll like this, it's just to entice a similar reader. So like a reader that would be interested in those books would be interested in this book. And yeah, I like don't have any issue with that, or with the fact that they're more recent books, because I think this kind of trend towards that type of storytelling is a more recent thing. So it makes sense that, you know, they're books that have come out not hundreds of years ago, but like a few years ago.
All right, and the next book is from Brandon Mull. Do you guys know who Brandon Mull is? Are you familiar with him?
No, I am not.
He is very prolific. He writes lots and lots of middle grade books, all very, very popular.
Okay, so I don't read much middle grade, so this is interesting.
Yeah, so he wrote Fablehaven and what was the other? Oh, The Beyonders, which is kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. The Sorcerer's Apprentice, that series of books, yeah. The Seven Sons, is that what it is? The Seven Sons?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, kind of like those. They're really good. He's fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic author. Kids love him. So he's got another middle grade series coming out. It's a 5-book series, and it's called The Five Kingdoms. And the first book in the series is Sky Raiders, and it'll be published in March of next year. And the following book two, comes out October. So 2 books out next year in this one series. And The Five Kingdoms stars Cole Randolph, whose ordinary knight turns extraordinary when he and his friends are whisked to a place called the Outskirts. The balance of power in the Five Kingdoms that make up the Outskirts has been upset. The magic there is becoming unstable, and it's up to Cole to find a way to set things right. Which sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah, I could see my students liking stuff like that.
My kids, what? What did I miss again? Damn it.
Clearly we need to go back and talk about that earlier. Anyway. And the next one. Now, this one's kind of a big deal because it was acquired by HarperTeen for 6 figures, which is a lot for a first-time, like, debut kind of novelists. And I'm pretty sure these are debut novelists. A 6-figure deal these days is actually a big deal most of the time because you don't hear about them that often. So this novel was acquired by HarperTeen, and it's
good luck.
By, yeah, these names are really tricky, and I'm really sorry if I get them so completely wrong. Sona Charapatra and Doel Clayton, and it's a YA mystery, and it's called Dark Point. And it's the first in a project from the author's new packaging company called Cake Literary. We all know how I feel about packaging companies. Anyway.
But I feel good about cake.
I like cake as a food. I don't know how I feel about them as a packaging company. Anyway. So it's written in the vein of Pretty Little Liars, and it follows 3 students at a competitive Manhattan Ballet Academy, all vying for the prima ballerina spot. They took world English rights to it. So what I find really interesting is that, is it me or do all packaging companies kind of produce the same material? Pretty Little Liars is also packaged. That's why I'm kind of like, really? That's funny that you have another book from a packaging company that's in the vein of Pretty Little Liars. Go figure.
Yeah. This sounds like Center Stage, but not as good. Like, you know that movie?
Or Bunheads, or,
you know. Yeah, true.
Yeah, but Bunheads, they had personality. It wasn't all about being bitches.
Bunheads had Sutton Foster, so they win automatically.
This is true. I mean, I only watched the pilot, but I know people did like it.
Yeah, I haven't really watched it, but Sutton Foster, I can definitely, yeah.
Well, there's actually a book named Bunheads that isn't like the TV show oddly named Bunheads. Like, no joke, they were different.
Oh.
So that's, yeah. But the novel Bunheads is similar to kind of like this idea.
Yeah, it's
but well written.
I don't know. Cool, interesting. Have you read the Pretty Little Liars books? Because I have not. But I have heard that the TV show is actually like really good. But I don't know how different it is.
They're fairly similar, I think. I think they've changed things up a little bit so that people who have read the novels kind of don't know who A is. Like, they've adjusted that part of it so it is still a mystery even if you've read the books.
Yeah, okay.
So they changed that aspect.
Okay, interesting. I mean, so I don't automatically think everything that comes out of a packaging company is going to be terrible, but, like, they don't have a great track record.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel that there are so many people out there that
it's a lot of money, though.
that are, yeah, it is a lot of money. But
So.
here's the thing, if depending on who owns the company, the authors for a packaging company don't get the money that when it sells to a house like HarperTeen, the
Yeah.
company gets the money, not the authors. The authors are paid something up front typically.
Right.
And
Not
unless it's written in a
equally.
contract that they make a portion of the sale, they don't get any money, any more money than what they were originally given.
Yeah, but like, even so, it still seems like a lot of money up front if, if the quality, if they don't think that the book is going to do well.
This is interesting in that it's their packaging company. So they started this packaging company and were like, hey, we have this novel. So, I mean, I'm assuming most of that money is going.
To them, yeah, I
Yeah.
know. That's the weird, that's the odd part is that the two authors started the packaging company, and they're selling their own books through a packaging company rather than with an agent. Like that's what I find really odd about the whole thing, I think, is that they're selling their own books through a packaging company, which isn't normal because, like, Lauren Oliver has a packaging company.
Yeah.
Paper Lantern Lit. If you didn't know it, it's a packaging company owned by Lauren Oliver. She does not sell her personal novels through the packaging company. Do you know what I mean? She has a whole, she has an agent, that her career is separate from the packaging company. And so the last book that we're going to talk about is Abigail Baker's debut novel called Death Mark. And it's featuring the last Scrivener, a young woman who works for the Grim Reapers, marking humans who have cheated death until she must mark her own human friend to. And it was sold to Entangled Publishing, which does some really great novels. So yeah, it looks really cool. Does anyone have anything to add about Death Mark?
Sounds weird. I don't know.
I wonder when, like, if this is a modern novel. I guess it probably is.
Probably. There's another Reaper set of novels out there right now too called. The first one's called Reaper, and the second one is called I forget. But it's a really cool. The girl actually becomes the Reaper rather than just the marker for Reapers.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like it. I know I didn't watch it, but my sister watched like Dead Like Me, which is sort of a
Oh, that's a great show.
similar. Yeah,
Yeah.
so maybe, I mean, it could be like fun like that.
That's true. I didn't think about that. I was not really into this book, but I really like that show, so now I am. If it's I guess the thing is like Dead Like Me kind of worked because it was very ironic. Yeah, if this is like a kind of book where she's all like, "Oh, I don't want to like kill my friend, blah blah blah," then I'll be bored. But if it's like kind of a bit satirical, I guess, or like has that sort of dark humor, then I would be into it.
Yeah, it definitely has to like be able to poke a little fun at itself and
Yeah.
to
It
kind
depends
of
how
make light of the situation kind of thing.
right, it depends how self-aware it is, I think, for me, for my enjoyment. I do not like sarcasm, as you guys know. So,
Oh.
no.
Yeah, it just won't work. I don't know. Anyway, so those are just some of the recent books that have been acquired by various publishing houses. So we always like to share those with you guys because kind of gives you a heads up on what's coming out and all that good stuff.
Two to 3 years, but
Well,
still.
no. Well, Brendan Mall comes out in the spring and in the fall of
Oh,
next
that's soon.
year. So some of them are 2014. Most of them are probably early 2015. But that all changes. Sometimes they adjust depending on if they get done in time or what the market needs at the moment. So just keep your eye out for that good stuff. The last thing we're going to talk about today is Publishers Weekly's best books of 2013. So every year, Publishers Weekly picks the best books of the year. And I find their list rather interesting, I guess, for lack of a better word. It's kind of an eclectic mix of things. I don't know. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. It was a bit, what did we say before? Like, just seemed a bit kind of random, and so many of these books I have never heard of that were
I've
on
heard
here.
of the authors. I well, other than Eleanor and Park, which yay, but didn't that come out last year?
That,
Yeah, I
yeah,
thought so too.
I don't know how they choose this. Is it just like their favorite books, and
Yeah,
it
it's
is
just
2013, or it's obviously not things that were published in 2013.
yeah, they just I don't know. They choose the books, they vote on which ones they think are the best.
Or was, wait, was Eleanor and Park, maybe it came out just really early this year?
Did it come in like January, maybe?
Yeah, I think maybe it did. Now I'm trying to think, because it was really close to fangirl now I think about it.
Yeah. So the one thing I do notice is that all of them, at the very least, were reviewed by Publishers Weekly.
February 2013.
Oh, okay, there we go.
So that
So
makes
it was a
sense. Oh my
2013
God, that
novel.
seems so long ago.
Yeah.
Now I'm losing my mind.
But yeah, so all of them were at the very least reviewed by Publishers Weekly. I don't know. I just think there are a lot of books out there. And I think it's great that they didn't just choose the books that have been popular and renowned, but at the same time, some of these books I've never heard of. And it's not like we don't hear a lot about books. Do you know what I mean? We try to be very much in the know about novels, so I think it's kind of interesting that some of them are just completely unknown.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I'm just looking at the website because they have like a much, larger list for all like different
Yeah,
categories
and we'll
on the
link to the
website.
list so that everyone can see it.
Yeah, and even in like some of the other in the fantasy sci-fi area and stuff, I'm still like I don't know all of these books, and I read a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, interesting choices.
Yeah, so some of the choices for the they call them children's books, even though they're more geared towards middle grade, young adult. Better Nate Than Ever by Tim Federle, Doll Bones by Holly Black, Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell, Far, Far Away by Tom McNeil. In the I think it was the mystery thriller section was Vicious by V.E. Schwab, which is really Victoria Schwab. It was her adult book. And then Mad Atom by Margaret Atwood. Some of the other ones, though, for like in the children's section, we have like The Golden Day by Ursula Dubosarsky. I've never heard of that.
I would not call, is Mad Atom, are they calling that a children's, like a young
No,
adult?
Mad Atom. No, excuse me. Mad Atom was one of the. I just tried to pull something from like all the categories.
I was
So
gonna say,
Mad Atom was
what?
in the fiction,
Okay.
maybe?
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah,
I think
that,
that's
sorry,
where
that
I
makes more
saw it.
sense. My brain just like got
Yeah,
confused over
yeah, yeah.
that.
Yeah, no, it was from the adult fiction. Some other ones from adult fiction were Sea of Hooks by Lindsay Hill. The Blind Man's Garden by Nadim Aslam. Elizabeth Gilbert's latest, which was a signature of all things. But even like these adult novels, I'm looking through them, and many of them I don't recognize. I don't know about you guys.
It's kind of half and half, I guess. It's just interesting. I feel it
Yeah.
seems kind of like they've gone out of their way to avoid some of the more popular books.
Yeah, which I think is nice in the fact
Yeah.
that this way you get a different idea of what's out there. You know what I
Right.
mean?
It's like the
Which
hipster
is
choices. Like
Yeah. Publishers Weekly goes hipster.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
Oh my God, could that be the episode title? Publishers Weekly goes hipster.
Sure.
But yeah, like one of the few books that I recognize in the mystery and thriller is Red Moon by Benjamin Percy. Other than that, I really haven't heard about any of the others. So anyway, there are lots of cool things happening in this list. I think it's cool. It gives you guys some more things to read and be interested in, which is always cool. What I find is really funny, if you click on the romance one, just because I just did, there's one called Tremble, Erotic Tales of the Mystical and Sinister.
Oh.
Why not just throw 50 Shades of Grey up there and call it a day, kids? I mean, really?
Oh, I'll have to add that to my list.
So yes. So, anyway. So, do you guys have anything else to talk about this week?
I feel like we covered it.
I think so too. All right, well, that wraps up this episode of Book Hype. As always, feel free to leave your comments, questions, or, the occasional concern, because I know we get out of hand, on the podcast post. We'd love to read what you guys have to say. And thank you guys for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Marima.
And I'm Michal.
Until next time, goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Stay hip.
Ha
Mikhail was going to try and make another joke. Wasn't he?
What is this thing that you do now?
I don't know. But I think I started it because you were so perturbed by it.
Oh.